This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another edition of that Sunday night live show. This week it is after Plymouth at home, which ended Millwall 1, Plymouth 0. Great result for us. And onwards and onwards. We are safe. It's now gone down to the final four. Before I go into introducing the other guys, as promised to you, Charlie Kentish, with the dodgy Barnet, hello and thank you very much. I do remember you. I have dealt with you before through something which we won't go into comment on live, but allegedly you're a good boy. And thanks very much for coming up to me yesterday and seeing us. And thank you very much to loads of you yesterday. And those of you watching live, welcome. Those of you who listen to us Monday morning on your commute to work, thank you very much. And thank you very much for being listeners. Right, with that, as promised, I'm done. We're going to introduce the guests we have on tonight. We have my glamorous assistant, who is always here, the one and only Stephen Jones.
Evening, Mickey,
evening.
Jay, chaps, you all good?
Yeah, not bad. Well, introduce Jay now as well. Hello, Jay. How are you doing? You all right?
Evening, Mickey. Evening, Stephen. How are we?
Yeah, good.
Good. Thank you very much to Beeline. That isn't the finished piece. That is just, I've added some music to that for now just to show you what we've got coming for next season. And in a couple of breaks in the show as such, we'll have a couple more of those. So you'll see those. So that's not finished, but it's the video, but it's not the finished music as yet. Right then, we won yesterday, which was a fantastic result. It was good for us, I suppose. We needed it. We needed to win to keep his record at the Den alive, which he did. It's not really that great for Plymouth to a degree, because now they've got to go to the last game of the season and hope they win. But it's fantastic for us because, yeah, whatever happens, we're safe. We're in the championship for another season. We've made the championship money for the new season. And, which we'll get into in a little bit about the rebuild scenario. But, your thoughts on yesterday's game, gents?
I thought Plymouth's approach to the game was really, really interesting. They were more than happy to sit on a point and hope that other results went in their favour, which obviously they didn't quite. I know the Birmingham one did to a certain extent because it keeps it in their own hands. And from our point of view, first half, I thought we just looked like we were on the beach, to be honest. It was just a nothing game. It was just, you know, lacking quality, lacking real, you know, it was that end of season feel. A lot of people said it was like a pre-season friendly. Second half, which we'll do first and then second. But second half, I think Neil had told them, right, let's get out there and win this game. We had a few chances. Probably should have scored more than the goal that we did. And as you said, Mickey, kept the home form intact for Harris going into the new season. 16 points from 18. Only conceded 2 goals at the Den since Harris has been in charge. Can't really ask for much more than that.
No, I totally agree with you. Jay?
Yeah, no, look, it was, again, look, it's business as usual at the Den for a Millwall team under Neil Harris. You know, it's becoming the norm. It was the norm when he was here last time, so we shouldn't expect anything different. I thought, although it did look a bit pedestrianised at times, I still thought it was a very professional performance, a very let's get the job done mentality. You know, you don't want to lose at home, even though we're safe. What I did notice was, especially in the second half and towards the end of the first half, was I think we saw more of the football that Harris will want to play next year. I thought we was very attacking. I thought Ryan Longman was fantastic again. And we'll come on to probably transfer the targets later, but he's got to be one of the first names we look at. And that's going to upset some people, but clearly a Harris-type player, clearly wants to play here, clearly a Millwall-type player. So, yeah, I thought it was a professional performance and we attacked really well. We showed some real good intent. There were some good crosses, good passing. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of that next year, I think, now that we're safe. Harris is at the player style of football that just got us safe. So there was some optimism yesterday. Would have liked to see some of the youngsters, but Harris ain't all about losing at the Den over someone's ego and giving someone minutes. You know, it's this is the Den and this is Harris's his forte as such. So, no, please sign off with a win.
On that, Jay,
I totally agree with you.
Sorry, just to, on that, with the playing of the youth, I do agree that it would have been nice to see a little bit more game time for the youth, but I felt it was really interesting. Obviously, no Obafemi in the starting lineup. Norton Cuffey didn't get brought on, which has been happening over recent weeks. The only players that come on were Billy Mitchell under contract, Romain Essay under contract, Kevin Nisbet under contract. I think Harris was clear. It was clear from Harris's point of view that yesterday was an opportunity for those that are definitely going to be here next year, the chance to get some minutes and let him have a look at them. Sean Hutchinson, that one's a little bit different. I think that might have been a little bit of a goodbye final appearance at the Den, although that's not confirmed.
Well, I'm pretty upset. Sorry to interrupt. Pretty upset with that overall, that he should have started the game and been subbed off for the servant he's been. And I thought Bart should have played a part in the game as well.
Go on, Mickey.
Do you know what was the telling point on there? Was it was a bit weird that Bart was given the microphone and yet Hutchinson wasn't.
That says to me that I think there's an element that Hutchinson's going to stay.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's going to be necessarily as a player, but I don't think Harris wants to lose him from the dressing room or the coaching setup or whatever it might be. That's the only thing I can think of, because if Hutchinson does now go, that's a little bit of a slap in the face too, because Hutchinson was made club captain by Harris. He's been club captain since Harris left. I believe so. Yeah, that one was a little bit odd.
Or is it just that obviously the decision on Bart was already made? Is it that the jury's still out on whether Rochester's going to come back from a management and a board point of view? Is it a case of, you know, we need to see what we get in first, whether Hutchinson gets a new deal? You know, he's still got a couple months left to run. This isn't an easy decision to make with your club captain. Maybe it was just that the decision hasn't been made yet.
Maybe, but you'd like to think that these kind of things, it was so obvious. I mean, without jumping the gun before talking about the game, after the game, Harris's comments about, you know, we're looking offensively, we need a number 9. He referenced the fact, which I'm really pleased, that the squad was built for wing backs and he's not having none of that. He wants wingers, which is, I think, fantastic. That's the way that Millwall need to play. It just seemed to me that they're already planning ahead, and it was. I just found it strange with Hutchinson. As I say, he's been a favourite of mine. I think he's been superb over the years. Obviously, injury and his age is catching up with him. I would like to think that Hutchinson will stay, and it was just as you say, the decision's not been made, or they're trying to sort of iron out the details. But Very telling. But also on the subject of Bart, I thought his speech, what he said, interesting. He was loved at Ipswich. He was loved with us. He's clearly a popular member of the team. So wish Bart all the best. And it was nice to see him get an opportunity to actually address the supporters.
Yeah. Biggie?
Out of all of that, I'm surprised that none of you mentioned anything. Hutch is on much lower wages as would. That none of you mentioned anything about the pitch invasion.
Are there them sort of people who are irrelevant, and I don't really want to give it airtime. Let's just touch on it briefly. It's pathetic. It's shocking. We know it's going to happen. It happens every year. Do you know what I mean? Whether we get promoted, whether we go down, whether we just stay up. It's not the fact that they run on the pitch. You know, lots of people like to do it. It's full grown men. And then when they're asked to get off, they proceed to spend another half hour trying to beat each other up. It's disgraceful. If any of you are listening, I ain't sorry. You know, you full grown men. If you actually cared about the club and you support the club, all the people that genuinely support the football club and genuinely care about the football club do not act like that. Because you're risking a banning order. Why would you not want to come and watch your beloved Millwall by acting like a fucking idiot? So, no, I don't really want it. If it's all right with you, gents, and the chat, I don't really want to give these morons any more airtime than we need to.
And what I would say, just as a follow-up to that, I do agree, but it's more the fact that the end-of-season awards was at the end of the game, which was poor in the first instance, because it should have been done at the start when the ground was full. And because it took so long for those that went on the pitch to come off of the pitch, people were waiting and thinking, no, I'm not, this is going to take forever.
Yeah,
and
people left.
And people left. Ryan Leonard deserved better than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's
I'm the, sorry, but I'm going to have to say it. I'm going to have to say it, yeah? That spoiled Jay's day. It's very Jay did a very Morrison type thing there, didn't he? So, yeah.
But the thing is, I
can appreciate children running on the pitch.
I agree.
And all right, you know, your parents have got to do better, but it's a once it like kids, it does. I'm okay with kids. When it's full, there was a guy next to me, I'm not kidding you, he was in his 70s or 80s, an old man, and he was with his mates, and he was like, oh, he's going on a pitch, Larry, whatever his name was, he's going to be filming him. And I looked at him and I thought, you're a veteran, mate. Like, what are you doing? And then there was people fighting. And like you said, it really spoiled it for Lenny. It spoiled it for the young kids or the fans, you know, that we've been there all season, us season ticket holders go home in a way that you want to give your appreciation. And that it's pissing down the rain and people have got stuff to get back for and get home for. And you haven't got much time to spare that people ruined it, you know, and it is a shame.
I don't know. I mean, I think, I understand where you're coming from, and I think, you know, the ruined it bit is a bit Morrison, but that's it. But, you know, those who were a bit more older and known better, there was a couple who, one thing you don't do is get a bit leery with some of the Millwall supporter, because what you'll find is that they will, you know, unless you front it up, they will make you back down. And there was a couple of lads who got a bit too gobby, and I think they probably woke up this morning with a nose or two moved across their face to a degree. Yeah. I don't condone it, but you know, at the end of the day, mate, don't push the limit too fast. So yeah, I'm testing a couple of bits. I have turned on the subscription button, but I know that most of you are already subscribed, but all you need to do is press subscribe to the channel. And then 10 minutes later, you'll be able to comment, and make sure you press the like button as well, because there's over 100 odd of you watching on YouTube as well as other channels. But obviously, those of you watching on YouTube, please do subscribe and make sure you press the like button, and then obviously it goes up and up and up. Go on.
What I was just going to say to add to it is that
I do agree with that one. Sorry,
the club have got to do a better job of it. They know this is happening. They know that it takes so long to get them off as well. And he kept coming over the tannoy going, can you please leave the pitch? That's just making things worse. Every 30 seconds, they've got to do a better job.
The problem
job.
Is...
The fact that we police it ourselves.
Yeah. The problem is that the club does it every year. It's the second year in a row they've done it after the game as such. And I think that I don't agree with that. I think that realistically, what they should do is have the end of season dinner, like the week prior to when the last home game is, so that people who are paying money to go to the end of season dinner will get to see the awards and everything else there, and then just leave it for those people. Don't do the PR around it, and then on the home game, you know, maybe the Thursday, Friday night, or whatever it is, you know, where, you know, whatever it is in the week, maybe Tuesday night, like it is next week. But you do that, and then you have the awards, and then you go forward. Because pretty much by doing it before the awards, you've pretty much nil and void the awards. What's the point of going to the awards? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, okay, you get to spend an hour and a half with two players if you've got a table. You get an hour and a half with them as such. Yeah, okay, fine, I get that. But realistically, what's it for? You already know who's won. So it's not as if you're sitting there going, oh, who do you think's winning? It's literally, you know, oh, well done, Leo. You know, well done there. So, you know, it's already done and dusted. And you're like, it's the second year it's done this way. And it's the second year it's not worked.
Yeah. To be fair, though, you say that the end of season awards last year was before the final game of the season. And we did the player of the season. So the people at the awards knew who it was first because we still had the game to play against Blackburn. That's the right way to do it. If you're going to have an end of season awards, you do it first. This year, I get why. I understand why. They didn't want to announce details of end of season awards when there was a possibility of going down. And after Huddersfield, imagine after Huddersfield, they'd have put out a message saying, oh, come to the end of season awards. They'd have been absolute uproar about it. So I get But I get that it's an event that they're expected to do stuff like that. The club, it's one of those things. You don't have to do it. They don't have to do it, but it's something that the fans want to go to. Might make a little bit of money, etc. That kind of stuff. As Jay said, I think really at the end of the day, I think really we should concentrate on what happened on the pitch and what's going to happen over the summer. The club got it wrong with the end of season awards. Fans running on the pitch is a bit, I've never understood it, especially someone said, goading the Plymouth fans, who not only I thought they were quite good yesterday, they were a decent away following, but they also got heavily involved with, they backed Roy Lana when Roy walked out onto the pitch. They all of them that were in the ground at the time were quite supportive of that. I think they also had a little bit of a cheer and a clap when John Berylson come up on the screen in the video.
Good crowd,
at the
mate.
Start
very,
of the game.
Very, very good bunch of fans.
I think we should just talk about the game and football in that as rather than some people that want to run on the pitch, to be honest. So that's just my opinion.
I think, you know, there's been loads of PR from the club this week. There's been loads of PR saying, you know, this has been the best financial season for the club on a commercial entity since 1950. They've sold more shirts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have the figures for it and I'm not going to disprove it. You know, I'm not going to sit there and go, I'm not going to sit there and say yes or no, but it is, it's hard to think that, you know, with all that fuck up, unless it's something quite simple that, you know, where Fanletics come in, Millwall had a lot of kit left over or something, or they've got a lot of kit very cheap, and where they've sold it, they've made more profit. But it seems that, you know, I don't know what the difference is this season of selling, unless it's purely because they've actually printed names on the back of the shirts. And obviously, a lot of fans can go in the club shop rather than waiting. They've got, you know, they can pick up their size with their player on the side of it, and it's just done.
The other thing commercially as well is, and it's the average crowds. The crowds this season, even though we've been poor for the majority of it before Harris, I mean, how many games were we selling out? And people were going, we don't want to sell out under Joe Edwards. We don't want to sell out because we weren't getting results. The fans have come, whether it been from abroad, from local, wherever, that's also where, you know, the successful from, you know, since the 50s, the average crowd has been excellent. So it's just little stuff. I know the shirts obviously have made a difference as well. But it's just
starting in the championship has made it even more sweeter. That's for sure.
Absolutely. It's just
who we got for next year, mate. Who is our sponsor for next year? That is the question. And are we going to get one who's been financially viable as Husky was, or is, unless Husky's staying? I mean, you know, apart from the last season or two where there's been, you know, alleged unpayment or whatever it is, what's going on, which obviously we don't really know solidly. It's between those two. But if we could get someone like Husky again paying the money what they were paying, superb. Absolutely superb. But I don't know. It's one of those, isn't it, on that one. So, yeah, we will see on there. I will bring this up now because I think it's interesting. And so, since Harris has been in, we've won 16 points out of 18 at the Den. And overall, in his, 12 games, whatever he's been in? How long has he been in? 12 games.
12 games.
So, in his last 12 games, and this is a mental statistic, but it's right. It's 40, I think it's something like 41% or whatever it is, isn't it?
46.
And I'll get it in a minute. No, not point, not thingies. Yes. Is it 46? I can't remember.
46%.
Yeah. No, 41. It's 41% of Millwall's points this season have come under Neil Harris. He's been back 67 days. No team has taken more since he arrived.
Top of the league.
And if you work out the league on the last 12 games, Millwall are the best performing team in the league. And we've sat here on shows and people have come on here, and I'm still going to stick by what I've said, but Neil Harris isn't the right choice, this, that and the other. Well, if he's the right choice or not, something's happened the last 12 games. Why is he the best in the, you know, best in the league on the last 12 games out of any team in? I mean, even if you look at that, I mean, there's not many of the top clubs in that top half either, in that top bit either. So they've fallen
Neil
apart.
Harris,
and we've done fucking well.
Neil Harris, I think, to be honest, I think most of us were saying a similar thing at the time. Neil Harris might not be the answer long term, but for the short term, he was the right person to come in and give us a chance. We were going down under Joe Edwards. We were 1 point Harris come in and we'd taken 1 point from 21 games, from 21 points available. Sorry. So you can't, he come in and the club was on its knees. Let's face it, we'd lost to Sheffield Wednesday at home. Ipswich had given us the run around as well at home. And it just looked absolutely woeful. The stats don't lie. Harris has been superb. The players have played for him. I tweeted this morning, I think, that whilst this season was supposed to be for John Berylson, for three quarters of it, the players didn't. But for the last 2 months, they've done it for him. They've done it for the Berylsons. They've done it for Harris. They've got us over the line. And look, I don't know what the future will hold. I don't know what's going to happen with Millwall moving forward and what Neil Harris is going to do and whether it's going to be successful. But the man has earned the respect. And for me, he should have earned.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The backing of the supporters for next season. If they didn't have it beforehand, he's certainly earned it. And for me, as I say, right person for this season. I was sceptical about next season, and I still am to a certain extent because it is going to be difficult. However, he, in my opinion, he has earned the right to be a Championship manager next season for this football club.
The thing is, sorry, Mick, I was going to say, the thing is that it don't matter who's in charge next season, whether it's Harris, whether you go and get a young forward-thinking manager. We're still going to be in this situation next season. It's not going to have anything to do with management. The squad needs severe overhaul. Mm. The finances, we need to build. Like, it's not going to happen in the summer. The next season is still going to be a struggle. So I don't. What is the point in going out and getting this young forward-thinking manager when Harris deserves it clearly, and we can build with Harris's knowledge of the club, and then have a succession plan. Harris knows he's not the long-term answer. I think that's key here. Harris knows it. Mm. Harris, he's said it. No, he knows it. So
the thing is, you've got is obviously you've now got a rebuild with the team, right? Neil Harris, he knew what to do to get the results that we got in. But the trouble is now is that we know the players who are going to be there. It's now all about the players we bring in. And they're going to be the difference between us getting promoted. And if we didn't, I mean, I think chaps on his show earlier, you know, I think Dan Riggs had just put it in a comment as well, actually. But yeah, if we had carried on like we did, then we would have probably been on 88 points and that would have put us second place. That would have given us promotion.
And that's it. And with the players that are coming in, just going on to that quickly, I think that Harris made a comment. It might have been in his press conference after Sunderland, I'm not sure, where he said that it's the players that have come in, it's about the club, not the manager. And that's what Joe Edwards was saying previously. It's not, they have to fit in the way that the club wants to play, not for a specific manager. Now, I get that that's open to interpretation, but Harris is going to build a squad over the summer and then maybe move into January that can obviously keep us safe next season, but be the kind of starting block for the new person to come in the following summer. I don't think, again, Harris's form, you know, you can, it's always if, buts and maybes, but the form that he's seen us in, you know, he's been absolutely superb. It would stack up with promotion challenging form.
23.
Pat,
yeah. 23
would we have 12. Been, would we have, if we'd have got rid of Joe Edwards a bit earlier, would we have been safe earlier? Would it have been, would the same effect would have happened? Who knows? But absolutely superb, deserves all the credit that he's going to get.
Archie says, put in a comment, right? And I'm not necessarily putting all the comments up, gents. And the reason why is because there's a few of you that listen to us as a podcast rather than watch us live. And one of their biggest gripes to a degree were, we love the lives and we love the interaction, but sometimes you guys are laughing or talking about a comment where you don't necessarily speak out in full. So I won't necessarily put them up, but I will speak the comments out. So Archie says, put a comment on and said, still needs to be an inquest into the playing squad. If they can play like they have for Harris, then they could have done that for Rowett and Edwards. Something was wrong. And to me, I totally agree with what Archie's saying, because to me, I think that if you can play like you have for the last 12 games, and you've seen the stats, you've seen the table there, we are the best informed team in the league, right? Out of that, I mean, I think we won 7 games out of 12 on his run, and yet they couldn't perform under Rowett and they couldn't perform under Edwards. The style of football isn't massively different between Rowett and Harris. Okay, I know that you'll probably come in and go, well, it is from Edwards. Okay, we'll leave Edwards out to a degree. That was purely because they probably didn't really have a lot of respect for him, or they just fucking couldn't, you know, they're too old in the tooth to be running around like he wanted them to run around. But Harris and Rowett, we looked at the stats in our group a few weeks back, and if, you know, potentially with the way Rowett was going in the first part of the season, we could have potentially been relegation fodder, one to him. And yet with Neil, we've survived it just. But why can't the players play? What's the problem with the players?
Rowett had given up. Rowett had given up.
The players gave up.
The players had played for Rowett for 3 seasons, and Gary Rowett had us on the edge of the playoffs. Last season, we should have done it, we know. So they were playing for him previously. Rowett had given up. He should have gone in the summer. Events happened with John. He was kept on. But I think James Berylson probably said to him, look, give it one more go. And I just don't think Rowett really, I don't think he was fully committed to the calls. Joe Edwards, I have my opinions. I know it's different to yours, Mickey, but Joe Edwards was asking Millwall Football Club to change its identity within the space of 2 months. It was never going to work, and he was out of his depth. Let's be honest, he was.
I think the problem was that people don't like change, and there was a kickback for people wanting change. It's a bit like what Daily Mill was put in there. How many of you had bosses you don't like, but you still do the job?
Yeah, see, look, I agree with that.
Players are fucking, you know, whichever way you want to look at it, players, they perform, same as Bessis. They perform for Rowett for 3 seasons.
Yeah, but the players do need to shoulder it. You know, we could blame Rao, we could blame Joe Edwards and what have you. The players need to shoulder majority of the blame, because ultimately the only common denominator in the form this season has been the players. The manager's changed 4 times, if you include Adam Barrett. So, yeah, the players need to shoulder the blame. I think Rao had run its course. I thought last year was that final push. I thought if he couldn't do it this year, that's it. Recruited pretty well, but just started poor. The off-season stuff with JB, you know, I just think Rowett's heart weren't in it. I think the players realised that this isn't going any further. There probably wasn't any drastic changes. There certainly wasn't from a style aspect or on the field style of play. So they were both 50-50 to do with that. I think Edwards was the right man, wrong time. And he did try to change it and try to bring freshness in. We just ultimately didn't have the squad to do it. I think the players knew that. And I just think Edwards wasn't cut from that cloth where he will grab a player by the scruff of his neck and make an example of him in front of the dressing room and say, look, if you don't fucking pull your socks up, you're out. You know,
but can you do that now, though? That's the problem. I mean,
Harris does. Oh, Obafemi said it in so many words that he has done.
But that's what I've said on plenty of shows since Harris came in. The reason Harris came in is that Harris is a no-nonsense man. And the problem is he knows the Millwall setup within the club that well, that people know him. And he knows that, you know, he will be left to basically fully manage the players, the process and whatnot. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, whether or not Rowett, his man management wasn't great. You know, I would have thought that personally, Edwards' man management was probably better, as in putting an arm around the players and all that. I think possibly that you had an issue of the players not rating him because he's never really played professional football at a level. And let's be honest, you know, there are a fair few prima donnas within the football world what probably would look at him like that. And then obviously, you know, Barrett come in, didn't really do a lot. And then Harris come in and maybe the fear factor kicked in, because I personally, knowing Neil for quite a few years and whatnot, I would not want to take a bollocking from Neil. No, I'll take a bollocking from many people, but I wouldn't necessarily want one from Neil.
He's openly said that the players have openly said it, and we said it on the pod that, as soon as they heard the news that Neil Harris was coming back to the club, I wouldn't be shocked if half of them bent over in the dressing room waiting for it, because it was coming and he shoved a rocket up their arse. If you could put Joe Edwards and Gary Rowett into one manager, you probably do get a form of Neil Harris. In a sense. Do you know what I mean? And we do just need that modernisation a little bit with the club. But look, we talk about Rowett and Edwards to the cast. They're not here anymore. There's no point discussing them. Harris is here for the now.
It's a wasted season, isn't it? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying it for. It's not, you know, it's not about the managers. It's about the, you know, the same players have been here all season. And realistically, if they'd have played as well as they did the last part of the season, in the beginning, the middle part of the season, we would now be absolutely ecstatic looking forward to playing, you know, the likes of Aston Villa, Tottenham, Man United, Man City, etc. next season. As it is, we're now looking forward to Portsmouth. We're now looking forward to fucking, you know, Leeds, hopefully, and etc. etc.
But the sad thing is, the hypothetical thing is, sorry, Mick, is that if we beat Blackburn last season and made the playoffs,
Yeah.
Honestly, I honestly think we'd go and win the playoffs because we played Luton off the park twice last year. Coventry, we peppered Coventry as well. But them playoffs were there to be won for us. That's the hindsight of it is it demoralised the club so badly. We took such a bad wound from it that it just rolled into, there was just no stopping that ball rolling downhill. Harris has steadied it, stopped bleeding, and that's it.
No, that's it. That's it. Michael Dunn's put in the comments, he's put, Neil Harris told Aldo, we need a centre-half, and he went away to ask around the top championships centre-halves who fit the bill. Aldo ran the player, and it turns out it was Hutch. That's why Hutch wasn't on the mic. Don't disagree with him there, to be fair. As long as you can keep him fit, then yeah, he's there. So, yeah.
I don't know. I think similar to what Jay just said.
Thanks,
I think
Richard.
I hope this season we can stop talking about Gary Rowett and Joe Edwards moving forward. It's done. It's finished. The players, for whatever reason has gone on before, it didn't work. It hadn't worked for a long time. And as Jay said, Harris has come in and he's stopped the rot and he's got us to a good place. So maybe Sean Hutchinson, love the guy, but if he's still part of the playing squad and a major part of the playing squad next year, that could be an issue for me moving forward. But, you know, at the end of the day, this season will be one that people will forget probably quite quickly. They might not forget, obviously, John Berylson, and they shouldn't. But this season, after what happened last year, we did have the hangover. It has maybe been a wasted season, as some would put it. However, I think it's the reality check that perhaps we needed as a club, that we were punching above our weight and we do have to move as a club moving forward in a lot of aspects to get to where they say they want to be.
Look, Richard Smith coming in, I stopped listening to this podcast because it got negative. I don't know about that. Thought I would tune in tonight, but nothing's changed. Just switching off. No worries, Richard. Thanks, mate. I don't think it's negative. I think we've got every right in the world to talk about Rowett and Edwards and Barrett, etc., because it's still that season. And what I'm saying is that last season, when we lost against Blackburn and had that great big end to the season where it was so disappointing, you would have expected really that the players would have been absolutely jumping at the bit to go, right, do you know what? Next season, we're just going to go for it. We could have done it this season. We didn't. We're going to go for it. And yet, we didn't. Pre-season, we did look like we were up for it. You know, Nesbitt looked as if he started firing on all cylinders. We had it all there. And then all of a sudden, whatever reason, we didn't. Now, I'm just hoping that next season is going to be, championship's going to be slightly harder. You've got, you know, the teams coming up and down. And hopefully next season we grab it by the horns and actually give it a good fucking go for it. Because we are capable. We're playing with these people if we put our heart and soul into it.
Look, I said it before, and this might, if Richard's still listening, which he says he's not, he's turned off. And if he wants to call me negative, that's absolutely fine. Next season is not a season that we're going to be challenging for the playoffs unless something drastic happens in the transfer window and we manage to find some money from somewhere. Next season is about putting the club into a position that when Harris does depart at the end of next season, that whoever takes over can bring the club forward. That's the objective for next year. Harris will look for a cup run, something that Rowett never did, and Edwards, I don't know what his thoughts were, he only had one FA Cup tie that we lost to Leicester. I obviously would like to see my team successful. We all would. The guys in the chat obviously would as well. However, I think we have to be realistic and say this is the starting block. This is what Joe Edwards probably needed, a rebuild season, not coming halfway through, which is where Jay said right person, wrong time. The club are going to go a different way. Give Harris the opportunity to build a squad that can play for this football club and then next summer hand it over to someone that will be able to take us to the next level. That's realistically what I think we're going to be doing next season. People might disagree with me. You guys might disagree with me, but I can't see us doing anything more than that. I'd love us to, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No,
I think what you're going to see next season. Yeah, I think what you're going to see with, I think with the current squad we've got, we're probably, to be fair, maybe bottom half table, you know, sort of halfway to, you know, pretty much where we are this season to a degree without the relegation issue. But it's down to, has the club now gone on a process where they're going to be looking at how they want players to fit into a strategized team format of playing style, regardless of what manager comes in? If that's going to be the case, then I think the rebuild will be good. If it's going to be based around what, you know, the manager who's currently in there is choosing, then I think not. But looking at the press stuff with Harris and stuff, I think it's pretty much the club have an idea of what they want, and then I think they're going forward with that. So, yeah, I agree with Tony W. You know, we're never going to be next level with our budget, but, you know, we can probably find a few little gems and hope. I mean, to be honest, we've got a lot of gems in the under-18s and the under-23s. We just need to give them a shout, because if we keep not giving these people a shout, then they're going to go elsewhere to get their football. And then we're going to lose people who potentially would be benefits for us, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes. And
thank you for
like Stephen just said as well. Like,
killing me.
It's the right thing to do by giving Harris more of a task in maybe identifying that next manager, maybe having a say in that sense. And then does Harris move upstairs? That's got to be at the forefront. You can't just let Harris come in, save us, give him 12 months for out of goodwill, and then say, see you later, and send him over the hills, and then start the process. Harris has got to be involved in this process. He just has to. He's the only one that gets the club. And his input is seriously credible. I think that would be the best thing to do. I think Harris realises he's probably not long-term. But then on the other side of it, gents, we don't know what Harris is like now. We've not seen his actual style of football. He's come in and he's had to play a very regimented style just to keep us up. Yeah. Next season, it could be expansive. We saw a lot of it in the second half against Plymouth. With not his team, let's be honest, this isn't his team. Yeah. So he might be the guy. Harris might be that guy.
Oh, I agree. And there's some comments coming through saying why wouldn't Harris stay on long term? And as I say, it could happen. We could
that
start
door
fantastic
has to be open.
Next year. Yeah, we could start fantastic next year, and people are going, hold on a minute, get him a new contract, sign him up longer. That could happen, and I'm not disputing that. But I think realistically, knowing the finances, knowing what's been said, Harris has even said himself, hasn't he, that his job is to, when he leaves the football club, it's to be in a better position than when he took it over. So that's kind of what he wants. That's what he's been told. Football, anything can happen in football. Anything, you know, Leicester won the league at 5,000-1. So anything could happen. But that's the plan.
The problem is that we, over our history, and, you know, Daily Millwall and Gazza and stuff who are listening, and others will listen, and the same what Alex S has said there, and I fully agree with him, our successful periods in history usually correspond with a crop of decent youngsters coming through together. You know, 87, 88, you know, 71, 72, you know, or 73, you know, there has been periods. You're looking at when Mark Beard and that come through as well. We were nearly there. What was that, 95, when we had Chelsea 95. And Arsenal and all that? We had a great crop of youngsters coming through, which then with the momentum and everything else, because they've been used to playing each other since the youth, all of a sudden you can propel yourself forward. And that's the bit at the moment where you're just looking and you're just going, are youth going to really get an opportunity to come through? And if you look at this season, we didn't really play the youth we had enough, really.
Well, we've got to be careful with that, because during that time with Mark Beard as well, we looked like we could get promoted, and then we got rid of everybody, and then we got relegated. So, you know, we've got to be very careful with how we approach this, because we haven't been that type of club.
But why did we get rid of people?
Well,
you know,
same reason that, you know, not the same reason that other people get, that other teams get rid of people, but that's neither here nor there. But
because we've always been a pretty much a selling club
at a very low
level. If you think about, yeah, but if you think about, and again, it's going back to something what I listened to Mark Beard on Under the Cosh, and you know, you had Mark Beard, you had Thatcher, you had Roberts, you had who else did you have in there? I can't think of the other ones in there now off the top of my head, but it's gonna throw me out now. I'll come to me in a sec. But if we'd have kept those players for a year or two, or you know, a couple of seasons, 3-4 seasons, we could have possibly built on something to go up and give a shout. But unfortunately, it got to a stage where they went. I mean, Mark Beard turned around and said, you know, that he dropped a, he wasn't getting played, and an agent or someone was in there. He didn't have an agent. There was an agent there who basically said, oh, are you unhappy here or something? And he said, well, I want to be playing football. That agent then went and make a, got a bid for him from another club. And that bid come in and Mick McCarthy took it and went, right, yeah, we'll have that. Off you go.
And he's one of the best squads we've ever
had. And that was a problem. All of a sudden going, yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, Kennedy and Stevens.
Kennedy went to Liverpool, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, as a, you know,
great
as a winger, I think, but he was probably going to be a fantastic centre forward. You know, he was just.
And yeah, there were some good players. He was one of the few inverted forwards that you looked at and thought, that's not really a position, the inverted forward, is it? That
away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.